what we do is we operate in about 25 countries, and you know, in Japan we operate in yen, and in Korea we have won, and in the EU we have mostly euros, and then we're in South Africa in the rand, and we're actually in Brazil in real, and we're in Argentina in peso, and of course we're in the US with dollar, and Canada and Australia have their dollars. So I've got working capital accounts in all those local currencies, and I would say probably we have anytime $10 to $20 million worth of those local currencies that are operating, and then we sweep all those into our global working capital currency, which is the US dollar. So when we have any excess overnight, we flip it to dollar, and then our treasury policy is we keep $50 million worth of either USD or local fiat as our working capital. And then whenever we get beyond that, if we get more than 10, not a million beyond that, but when we get $10 or $15 million more, we will take that, we'll grab a block of $10 million or $15 million, and then we will go and we will market buy Bitcoin, right, on some kind of whatever algorithm, and then we'll just put that on the wire and announce that. So what you've got is just continually, as the company generates cash for any reason, when we go, we keep $50 million to operate the business, and the rest we convert to Bitcoin. So that started, if you go back 9 months, you know, we had like $550 million. And so we thought, well, we'll put $500 million into other things and $50 million in Bitcoin. But today we have like $5.4 billion in Bitcoin and $50 million. So I would say right now we're like basically 1% USD or other local currency and 99% BTC. And we're going to keep it that way.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Michael,
and by the way, the way we calculate the $50 million is like the amount of money that with a 99% probability, I could tell you I'm not going to need more. Right?
Yep.
It's, I don't know what that, but is that a four sigma or five, something like a multiple three or four sigma type thing. But I just think that only 1 in 100, you know, years will I need more. And if I did trip that for some crazy reason, then we wouldn't sell the Bitcoin. We would go borrow an extra $10 million against the $5 billion in Bitcoin.
Yeah,
you know, and we keep the Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly.
But we would go borrow. We draw down a credit line and we ask someone to make us a loan at 4% interest or 5% or 3% interest. But it's just, it's very unlikely that we'll ever need that loan, right?
Yeah.
That's how we run the business. And if I was giving advice to any Bitcoin company, you know, I would say, okay, you got $100 million. How much of it's in Bitcoin? Don't tell me zero. Convert it all to Bitcoin, or, you know, if you need $10 million in working capital, convert $90 million to Bitcoin. Keep the $10 million in working capital, and then go find some friendly bank and set up a credit line if you must.
That's exactly what we do. It's like all the income that comes in Bitcoin never gets sold, and then whenever we need working capital, it's from the fiat income or from borrow.
Yeah, I think that's wise.
Michael, this is Tina. Quick question, and I may not have.
Oh shit, Tina's back!
Tina's back!
Tina,
welcome back to Clubhouse, Tina.
Is this the real Tina?
Yes.
This is the one and the only.
I'm so happy I missed you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where
is
it?
So,
CJ,
if I interject,
is this CJ
or is this real Tina?
It's real.
It's real Tina.
It's really him.
Bro.
Real
Tina. All right. So if I understood Jack Mallers, and granted, maybe I didn't fully understand it, with Lightning Strike, his ability to take dollars from one country and have it be the local currency in another. Could you ever imagine being able to consolidate your needs? Where you can use the functionality of something like Lightning Strike so that you basically can consolidate those cash needs without all the sweeping and deliver whatever your needs are through Lightning Strike globally to address those local needs in each of the markets you're in?
You know, for a global multinational, it took us about 5 years, maybe 10 years, to install all of our accounting systems. And the accounting systems are all sitting in using a unit of account of the local currency, and then all the treasury systems and all the controls are assuming those local currencies, and then local sweep arrangements. And that's built into the bank relationship. And I would say, you know, conservatively, you're talking about $50 million worth of effort to establish the controls, establish the accounting systems, train off people. And so at the end of the day, there are opportunities to use Lightning, but I really think that if I look at the opportunity for Lightning, it's not for a global multinational to change the way that they either collect revenues or they handle the small working capital balances. I think the real opportunity for the Lightning wallets is to give it to 45 million Argentines or in Nigeria, everybody in India so that you can actually fix the currency and, you know, slide the dollar into Zimbabwe, you know, or slide the dollar into Venezuela. That's going to change the world.
I'm talking specifically about Lightning Strike, though. So Jack Mallers' company, so he can take dollars in the U.S., and deliver euros in Europe. He can deliver, ultimately, I think he's still growing, and maybe somebody else in here can better elaborate what I'm talking about.
The point is, like, we're collecting euros in Europe, and we're eventually converting it back to the dollars, and then
that just wouldn't work for you. Okay, I understand.
And one follow-up point, I may not have been clear. There's arbitrage there, Michael, that I'm assuming you're making on the exchange. And, you know, when you're sweeping this out, they're paying you percentage points to borrow your money in these overnight kind of mechanisms. At least that's what I was doing for, you know, 20 years. Are you doing that across the...
No, I mean, like, I can't comment on all of our treasury strategies because we're a public company, and the way that we manage those things is confidential. But what I can say from a business point of view is that the extreme business opportunity here is just to take $100 million that would be sitting in USD, generating effectively 0 to 50 basis points, and convert it into Bitcoin, you know, which is yielding, depending upon your time frame, either 200% a year or 300% or 400% or whatever the number is. So that's the arbitrage. So... I wouldn't. I'm not so concerned about, you know, how I manage the last 50 million. I'm more concerned about the 5 billion.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Right. Or another way to say it is, I'm concerned about just the treasury asset strategy. And I think that with the most any business, it's a Bitcoin business, a Bitcoin miner, a Bitcoin exchange. I think that your shareholders have already accepted the risk that Bitcoin could go to zero. And if Bitcoin goes to zero, your exchange and your miner is you know, kind of insolvent anyway. So once you've got a business like that, then, and your shareholders are already supportive of Bitcoin, I think that the great opportunity is just convert over most or all or a large portion of your existing capital balance or your treasury into Bitcoin, because you actually de-risk the business. Like if I had a startup, you know, or a mining company, and I raised $200 million, well, I would say take the $200 million and buy Bitcoin with $150 million of it or $200 million of it, and then get a credit line, and then order the mining equipment, and then in like 3 years or 2 years, you may have mined a lot of Bitcoin, but in the meantime, you'll probably make more money off of the Bitcoin investment than off of the mining. And if you screw up the mining business, you'll still make money off the Bitcoin investment. And if Bitcoin goes to zero, your mining business won't be successful. So you're de-risking the business by moving the balance sheet as much of the balance sheet as you can into Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's going up every year, right? So it's a very competitive market to be in mining or to be in wallets or to be in exchanges or... All these businesses that are related to Bitcoin are very competitive. The one thing that's for sure is if Bitcoin fails, you're going to fail. But if Bitcoin succeeds, you may fail. And if you didn't invest in Bitcoin, then you will fail. So the least risky thing you can do is invest your treasury in Bitcoin, so, in my opinion.
Here's the question. So I think for most of the people in this room, like, Bitcoin success is sort of like a given, right? If you've been in this space for long enough, that becomes sort of like an internalized thing. Insane or not insane. But, like, what was dealing with the cover your ass to get, like, you know, like, maybe your charter changed? Or because the people I talk to, that so far has been the biggest hurdle for them to deal with their treasuries, is getting the compliance on board and everything else on board in a meaningful count.
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is, if you're a company, you have to have a meeting with your board of directors, or come to Jesus, where you explain to the board, look, we're a Bitcoin business. If Bitcoin goes to zero, we're going to fail. So can we all agree that Bitcoin is going up? If Bitcoin is the right thing for the world and we expect it to go up to 500,000 and then 1 million and then 2 million and 3 million, that's why we're in this business, right? Okay. So now that we all agree that, then let's just figure out how much of our capital we can invest in Bitcoin right now and think that through. And the real key is, you just need board of directors alignment that they all believe in Bitcoin. Because the worst situation would be, you have a Bitcoin business, but on your board of directors are people that still think in fiat, that don't actually believe in Bitcoin. And, like, you don't really want to be the business that is going to be the 19th Bitcoin exchange or the 37th Bitcoin on ramp. And then you're going to raise $100 million and you're going to invest it in dollars. And then you're going to find out that Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and Fidelity edged you out as the on ramp. And your dollars are worthless because Bitcoin went to the moon.
If you had just taken
$100 million in Bitcoin and invested in Bitcoin, you would have made billions and billions of dollars. And the fact that that Goldman Sachs or Fidelity finds another way to be the on-ramp wouldn't be a problem for you, because what you've done, I almost call it like you've got a max Bitcoin business, a double max, a triple max. A max business is your revenues go up as Bitcoin goes up. Double max would be, we're going to raise debt or equity so we don't have to pay our expenses by selling any Bitcoin. we're going to borrow money and we're going to pay our expenses with debt, and you're double. And then if I can raise enough equity or debt, I can actually buy more Bitcoin rather than only mine Bitcoin.
Okay, that answers the question I just had. I was about to ask you that, Michael.
A triple maxi miner, by the way, would be a Bitcoin miner that mines Bitcoin, borrows money to pay its energy and its operating and its equipment expenses, and then borrows more money to buy Bitcoin.
That's how a lot of miners that were doing this in scale were doing in other countries that had access to cheap capital. They never sold. Bought more Bitcoin.
My thinking here is, if we look at the block rewards, when we get to 2035, 99% of all the Bitcoin has been mined, and the entire network flips the transaction fees. And so if you're a Bitcoin miner, the name of the game is build out, but buy a bunch of Bitcoin and hodl it all, because you want to be holding Bitcoin by the time the large block subsidies disappear. I mean, it'll be a good business, but it won't be as good as it is right now. Right now, it's extremely good. But, you're going to regret. I mean, how do you think you feel if you're a miner, if you were selling Bitcoin 6 months ago at $10,000 a coin? How do you feel?
Like an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to regret every Bitcoin you sold if you're a miner. I mean, if you're a smart miner, your view is, okay, we're mining Bitcoin to keep it. How are you going to pay your bills? I'm borrowing money at 3% interest. That's how I'm going to pay my bills. Or I'm going to issue some equity. And that the miners that have the biggest advantage are going to be the ones with the greatest access to capital. So if you can take a miner public, you should. If you have another Bitcoin company, you can access, maybe you access venture capital. If you can get venture capital, you should do that. Otherwise, go public. Otherwise, if you can access the debt markets or the, or the convert markets do that. If you can't do all that, then you work your ass off. But, and by the way, if you have Bitcoin, you know, you ought to try to build a relationship with a decent Bitcoin bank. I think Silvergate's getting in the business with Fidelity, and Fidelity started announcing they're going to make some loans collateralized on Bitcoin. So that's one. NYDIG is making loans collateralized on Bitcoin. That's second. Genesis has made some loans collateralized on Bitcoin. We're still year one, I would say, early days, and you got to be careful and thoughtful. But, you know, the obvious thing to do over time is you buy the world's best asset, and then you get a bank that will lend you money against your asset. And then the name of the game is to build the largest possible Bitcoin balance sheet. And if you're going to have liabilities, I think I tweeted this the other day. Who posted it? Like one of the Hornets. He said, the secret to wealth is you want dollar liabilities and you want BTC assets.
Well, you just
the more the better.
I was going to say, you've just convinced me to take my Bitcoin mining operations public and leverage up. Thank you.
Okay. I think you probably had that idea before you talked to me, but I do encourage it. The best thing about going public, by the way, is because you can leverage up. Right? I mean, if you look at what's going on with Marathon and with Riot, I mean, if you can take a Bitcoin miner public and get a multi-billion dollar market cap, and that gives you a registration statement so you can issue equity or you can issue convertible debt or anything like that. Like, if you're a Bitcoin miner and you're going to compete in this market, right, you have to have one of three things. You either have to have access to infinite or high amounts of cheap energy. Like you've got very cheap energy in China, you know, come out of hydropower, etc. Or you have to have access to the world's best mining equipment and the best SHA-256 ASIC rigs. And you have to be able to get preferential pricing or preferential delivery. And the third thing is you need access to cheap capital. And of the three, by the way, I'm kind of the opinion that the easiest of the three to find, if you're in the U.S., is cheap capital.
Right? Yeah, it's a lot massive of times tax inflation as well.
A lot of people they're trying to do it the hard way. Like they're trying to actually build out massive mining rigs and they're trying to actually solve the energy problem. Those are hard problems to solve.
Well, I mean, there is a massive crunch on chip deliveries too. So that's not just for ASICs for Bitcoin. Like in general, you're not going to get space at TSMC.
Yeah. So if you could go to the public markets and raise $500 million and then 1 week later have bought $500 million worth of Bitcoin, that's a nice way to become a synthetic miner, right? What you did. At the end of the day, you're not going to want to be a miner. You're going to want to be an owner of Bitcoin, right? You want to own the Bitcoin that the miner generates, right? Because eventually the miners are just going to get transaction fees. They're not going to get any more block rewards. So if you could actually accelerate the mining by 3 years and just borrow the money, buy the Bitcoin, then that'd be better even, right? So like another way to say it is, I think I'm going to mine $100 million a year worth of Bitcoin. And I'm going to sell 80% of it to pay my bills and keep 20 million worth of Bitcoin. That's okay. I'm going to buy 100 million worth of Bitcoin. I'm going to keep 100 million worth of Bitcoin. It's going to go up by a factor of 10. That's better. I'm going to mine 100 million worth of Bitcoin. The market will give me a $500 million market cap. So I'm going to sell 100 million worth of equity and I'm going to buy 100 million worth of Bitcoin. And my production in year one is 200 million worth of Bitcoin. I'm keeping it all. Best. So you can do that. When you do that, your stock will go up again. If your stock goes up again, you'll be able to do it again. You could just hit the entire thing, right? You could, if you think about what we did, we actually did a Dutch auction and we offered to buy our stock back at up to $140 a share. That's figuratively speaking the same as doing $140 a share equity offering to buy Bitcoin. The equity that was not tendered, you know, we bought back 60 million, but we had 175 million left. And so we bought Bitcoin with 175 million. We got through an equity offering of sorts at $140 a share. Then Bitcoin went up. Our stock went up. The next offering was a convert deal with a strike price of $398 a share. We raised $650 million at $398 a share in a convert offering. We bought Bitcoin at $19,000. Bitcoin went up. Our stock went up. The next time we went to the market, we borrowed $1.05 billion. It's the same as an equity offering at $1,432 a share. And so what we were doing was three offerings as we got more support in the public market. And then we took that billion and we bought Bitcoin at like, what, $52,000. So you can see what you're doing is I could wait until I generated $1 billion of cash flow. But if you're generating $75 million a year in cash flow, how many years are you going to be waiting? 12, 13. A lot could happen in 13 years, right? What if you're not competitive in 13 years? And by the way, what's the price of Bitcoin going to be in the year 13? Right? So when you're thinking about all this, this is as much a financing exercise as it is an operational execution exercise. And the right decision for any business is a function of what your options are, right? And you start with your supportive board and your management team. You have to have a team of officers and directors that believe in Bitcoin. After you have that, then there's a question of, can you raise private capital or public capital, and can you generate cash flow, and if so, how and where and when? And you do what you can when you can. But the one thing I don't do is I don't try to time the fucking market.
Hey, Michael,
I don't sit around trying to figure out whether Bitcoin's going to be lower or higher in a month, because nobody knows. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Michael, you did a tender offer to get rid of the naysayers on your board, right?
Not on my board. What I did is I did the tender offer to rotate the shareholder base so that it would be unequivocally understood that every single person holding the shares was supportive of the strategy.
I think the better question is, how do the people who took it feel now?
Everybody's got their views.
Hey, Michael, I have a question
just
for
make
you.
Sure you get aligned, right? Get your board and get your shareholders aligned with the strategy and then commit. That's where laser eyes matter, right? That's why laser means something. What the laser eyes mean is, we're focused on Bitcoin. Bitcoin is going to continue to grow as the world's most scarce asset forever. And we don't have insecurities. And everything that we do is focused upon how we're going to leverage this and make this happen, and not hedge our bets.
Well, Michael, what are your
let's
thoughts?
Fucking
what are
go.
What are your thoughts on a company taking the same approach with the buyback approach of stock offerings to actual physical products? Like, if a company sells a physical product with a profit margin of, let's say, 80 or 90%, and they offer the consumer a buyback at full value or even a surplus value in, you know, let's say 5 years, essentially, it's raising capital. It's offering the customer a chance to get their money back, not grow their money like Bitcoin would. But do you think that there's some value in following the asymmetric trade and offering a buyback on products sold in the future, similar to you guys are doing with shares?
It sounds kind of complicated to me. I think the best strategy would be just a capital, sell your product for, the marketplace determines the terms under which you can sell a product. So If you're selling
the buyback feature though is what I'm wondering. Like the buyback that you guys offer on stock might have brought more interest in bringing capital to your company. The same way, if a company offered a buyback on a vehicle, right? Like, let's say a company was selling a vehicle for $100,000 and it cost them $10,000 to build.
I don't think they're really related. I think that's a different thing. What we did was simply make a stock buyback offer so that we could rotate our shareholder base to make sure they're 100% supportive of our Bitcoin strategy. And if another public company was in our situation and there was any question for them, then yeah, they could pursue the same strategy. But I think that they're unrelated, right? The P&L strategy is, am I going to sell cars or am I going to sell mobile phones, and how should I sell them? And that's determined by the competition and what you can pull off. But the balance sheet strategy is, how much money do I have and how am I going to invest it? That's a if you're a private company, then you've got a private discussion with your private shareholders. If you're a public company, you have a public discussion with public shareholders. And if you're a sole proprietorship, that's a discussion with you and your officers. And I think that you just have to deal with each of those differently depending upon the capital structure of the company.
Michael, I wanted to thank you very much for being being on here. I created a clubhouse room for a little later, and there was a little confusion about like when the debate was going to take place. So I just wanted to say, like, right now there's like 1,500 people listening. I think the debate that you have would easily draw over 2,000 or 3,000 on Clubhouse. So I wanted to invite you to see if you had your debate and you wanted to be here on Clubhouse, I think that would really be.
Yeah, so I already agreed to do it on Danielle's podcast, I don't know. I think she's going to set the platform, and I don't know what it'll be. That's to be negotiated, the time and the place. And maybe she'll live stream it. Probably she'll make it available to everybody. I mean, I'm hoping that hundreds of thousands or I don't know why 500,000 people might not see it. I think the last thing I did on her show went to 250,000 people. So we'll make it open. I want to avoid having it, having anybody not be able to get to it, but you know, it's like, I'm a big fan of streaming on demand too. So if you just have it available on demand on a click, then you can watch it at 1.5 speed, whenever you want, when it's convenient. And if you get bored, you can like skip out to do your next favorite thing.
Is you just got to change all your photos to pictures of the person you want to come interview and they'll all come.
I think that's the
Jason. Yeah, this is Dennis. That's a really great idea. I think what we should do in the meantime is at least have the debate live streamed through one of the clubs here. And then maybe, Michael, if you would be interested, we could do a post party where you could come and talk to people after the debate.
That might be fun. I would suggest if you guys have ideas, I'm open to them. And also, why don't you just go ahead and contact Danielle directly, because I'm sure she'll be happy to cooperate. And we can turn it into a pre or a post or a, probably a post discussion if we like. And anybody got any suggestions for me?
Get dominated,
Michael. If
you have
ideas about ways that I can convince people that are gold investors that they should sell their gold and buy Bitcoin, I'm all ears. So, you know, send them to me or post them. And I gotta go now, guys. I will applaud.
Thank you so
you.
Much.
I've never seen such an extraordinary achievement by Cyber Hornets. It does make me smile. I'm flattered. And thank you. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate your time. Hey, Neil, John,
I just want to point out that you guys didn't believe that would work, and it totally worked, and I think we're blessed because of it. So, more...